This week on Two Noobs, the FBI gets dinged in the Ninth Circuit, forgetting we have this thing called the Fourth Amendment. Welcome to Joe Biden's China. Next, in what's becoming our weekly EVs are trash segment, that gas money you're saving might be needed to be invested in new tires. Then, find out what PETA wants to do with our favorite Bill Murray-themed holiday. And finally, people are fighting back against entitled jerks on airplanes. And we're all for it. We've begun our descent. Start the music. Where the hell is John?
I wish I knew. Too busy, man. I guess he's too busy to sit and chat with us. So,
and
I don't know, Johnny. Wherever what you're doing out there, man. Hope you're at least breathing. You know what I mean?
Come back to us, John.
Yes, please.
And with that, we welcome you into a wide episode of Two Noobs Talking.
Very wide, yeah.
We got elbow room today.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know which direction you're on, so I'm just pointing in both.
That's fine.
Or maybe you could put yourself on both sides. That'd be funny.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
Copy and paste.
Whichever side you're looking at, that is federal taxpayer Matt Craig.
Absolutely.
That's right. And I, in the other side, I am scofflaw Steve Murray. But seriously, I do pay my taxes.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, I hope so.
Don't report me.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay, and it is episode 174. If I didn't already say that, I may have already said that. I'm losing my mind at this point.
Who knows? Yeah.
Hey, how about a congratulations to one Marcus Recchi?
Let's do it.
His Flyers Hall of Fame induction Friday night.
Scored a goal in the alumni game.
Two goals.
Even better? I mean, my God, that's... you know, and it was funny too because I sent you guys a photo of Eric Lindros, and he still, even to this day, still looks like he could play out there.
Oh, absolutely!
Just an amazing
absolutely.
Athlete.
He had a goal too. That was pretty.
Yeah, it was pretty,
pretty
cool.
Impressive. Yeah,
yeah. But Rex, love you, man. Great to see you in the Flyers Hall of Fame. Well deserved. And it was funny when they were going through his career highlights, Steve. 123 points in 84 games, still Flyers all-time record.
That's right.
For a single season. More than a point per game in his career as a Flyer. Very popular player. I loved, kind of interesting, you know, before we get into the fun fact, which version did you like better? Because he had two stints with us. You have that early 90s Mark Recchi.
Yep.
And then you have that kind of late 90s. Into the early 2000s, Mark Recchi. Which one did you like better?
To me, it's probably the later one, just because the team was better.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, they made two runs to the Eastern Conference Finals in that span with him.
Yeah.
So that I think sticks out of my mind more. And I think he appreciated the second run better because he was older, more mature at that point. And he, you know, I saw him interviewed, you know, there was a press conference. I saw him interviewed on a podcast. You know, he said that those teams, the late 90s, early 2000s, they were very close. And he was asked about the Ottawa 2004, the fight
game
with like the 400 penalty minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And he thinks, and I think I agree, having watched it, he thinks that helped them propel them through the playoffs because it helped them come together. He said they were already close.
They got to be closer.
That was something that helped.
Yeah.
He said he thinks it drove Ottawa actually the other direction.
I would probably tend to agree with that. I mean, that was a turning point in the game. It was like an early March game in those back then. Huge games. They were like prelude to the playoffs more than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. So. He definitely appreciated those teams as well.
Yeah.
It was good to see some of the guys from that team as well. Donald Brashear
scored
a goal, made a nice move, but just couldn't tuck it home on the one. He looked good. Apparently, he plays in Quebec still.
It's just amazing that they continue. Kimo was back too. Kimo teaming in that. We love that guy too when he was playing for us in 2010s. And Richards, of course, Patrick Sharp.
Yeah, Richards was back. It was nice to see Mike Richards on the ice. That was nice.
Yeah.
Good to see him.
Yeah, well deserved too, I think. You know, even though he was I would say, very controversial when he was a captain, and a lot of pressure was put on him back in the day and everything. But to see him come back and was warmly received.
Absolutely.
Yep. Huge, huge in that regard. I think for me with Rex, it's a toss up. I loved the Crazy Eights, Mark Recchi. Him, Fenech, and Lindros, man, they were dynamic. And it was just an amazing line back then. And I loved the younger, I think. But the later, you're right, though. The later stint, the 2000s.
Yeah.
He's more mature. He's like, he's more crafty. He's, you know, he knows the game more. In that regard, he's not the 123 point scorer, but you know, he can get in the corner. He can still skate with a puck, all that kind of good stuff. So
and we were this close to getting a Crazy Eights reunion.
Yeah.
If not for Brent Fedick injuring himself like a month or two ago, it's unfortunate, but, it was good. It was good weekend, not for the team, today against Boston, but for the alumni, it was a good weekend.
The alumni was good.
I thought it was a really, really nice. And I tried to watch as much of the game on YouTube as I could.
There you go.
Terrible angle, though. They got to work on that.
Yeah, it's like high above.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Yeah, very, very weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, let us get into our W Energy fun fact for the week.
Let's do it.
Brought to us by W Energy Drinks. Visit W.GG. That's W.GG. Enter the promo code Two Noobs Talking, and it's TOONOO BZ Talking BS. There's no BS here. Get 10% off your order. So you could get a tub of Galaxy Grenade, which is a supernova of watermelon, guava, and lime. $40, but with our promo code, you get $4 off. So don't say we never did nothing for you.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I've got the honor of the fun fact. So if you were to take all of the other planets in the solar system.
Okay.
And line them up next to each other.
Okay.
You would have an apocalypse. But they would also fit in the space between the Earth and the Moon.
Really? Whoa.
I called BS the first time I heard that. Because I'm like, there is no flipping way you're getting Jupiter in there.
Yeah.
Let alone all the other planets. But I did the math. The distance between the Earth and the Moon is 238,900 miles.
There you go. Okay.
When you add up the diameters of all the other planets in the solar system, you get 236,128.
Wow. So it just about fits.
Just about fits. I don't know if it includes the ring of Saturn, but the planet itself,
that would be quite the visual if you did, if you had that ability to stack them all up like that. You know what I mean? Like, how do you do, like, that would be unbelievable, especially Jupiter dominating the atmosphere. Like, oh yeah, okay, do we have Saturn, do we have Neptune back there? I don't know.
I'm just gonna move Saturn over here.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. So I thought that was I didn't believe it at first, but then the math had checked out. I was like, oh wow, that's impressive.
That's awesome.
About 2,000 miles.
That's amazing.
That's all.
That's pretty good. Just about gets it in there. That's awesome.
Just goes to show you the vastness of space.
That's
what it is. So that was our W Energy fun fact. Now we're going to the unsponsored over 40 rant.
So I guess that falls on me, yes?
No, you claimed to have one. So.
I do. As you know, Mr. Murray, I attended your son's ice hockey game today over at Center Ice in Oaks, Pennsylvania, off 422 there. And while the rink was not up to ideal standards, no surprise.
Joey Swole, you got to do better.
You got
Center Ice.
Seriously. Especially painting. Come on. Like,
oh,
just
my God.
Paint the lines, right?
It's nice to be able to actually see the blue line and the red line under the ice and not have to guess
they are.
Right.
This one goes out to all of these hockey moms and hockey dads out there. What the hell? Seriously, I understand rooting for your son. I totally get that. I would be doing the same thing in that regard. However, I will say this. If anything goes wrong with your son, why is it that you always have to feel the need to make it the most worst thing imaginable? I do not get it. I do not understand it. Unless something really egregious happens, then I totally understand that.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
But for crying out loud, if it's like they fumble a puck, oh, my God, that's terrible. Or if they miss a pass, how could you miss that pass? He was right there in front of me. The number of comments and complaints that I heard, borderline ridiculous. So I am especially ranting against parents to calm down. Let your son play. Let him enjoy the game. He'll make mistakes. None of us is perfect. Let's just go out there. Just enjoy our imperfections is all I have to say.
Mistakes are how you learn.
That's right.
I tell the team, I'm not going to punish you for mistakes. It's what I want is effort. That's the thing that I'm looking for. As long as you give me effort, we're good. You make a mistake, it happens, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak because I'm on the bench, so I don't overhear, but I have witnessed way worse.
Oh, I bet.
I bet. Kid falls down and it's like ready to go.
Like blue shot JR. Look out.
How dare you trip my son? I think the level, we're at the B level. So I think most of the parents, particularly at the level of 14 years, they realize their kid's shot at the NHL is probably not there.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they're a little bit less amped up about it.
Yeah.
But if you watch like an A league or double A, oh my God, dude.
Just a couple of rinks down from where we were, obviously, watching this game.
Yeah.
It can get pretty heated.
I'll
never forget one time when I was doing the instructional league there, and real brief, it was right before we were about ready to go on, and this one kid was just like, he got into misconduct, he hit somebody up high, ref threw him out of the game, and the fans let the ref have it. The kid was upset, throwing his gloves all over the place, and I'm like, dude, like, calm down, seriously, it's just a game, it's not game seven. And that's so important. It's like the mindset's so important. I could go on and on about that. But yeah, just enjoy it. Just have fun. That's what it's all about. And the moment that it's not fun is when things get really, really bad really quickly. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anywho.
Who would we like to be? Yeah, shall we? Let's go on.
Yeah.
All right. Topic one. Bad parents at hockey. No.
Speaking of bad parenting.
Yeah, speaking of bad parenting, bad, I don't even know what to call this.
Yeah, this is just horrible is what this is.
You'd think an organization that's responsible for enforcing the law would know the law.
You'd think that. You'd think.
Just
saying.
All right, so this is an LA Times article.
Okay.
The FBI violated people's constitutional rights when it opened and inventoried the contents of hundreds of safe deposit boxes during a raid on a Beverly Hills vault in 2021, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled. The panel found that the agency's cataloging of the contents of the privately rented boxes without individual criminal warrants for each violated the box holders' Fourth Amendment rights against unreasonable searches and seizures.
Yes.
U.S. private vaults, which allowed customers to rent boxes without providing the sort of personal information banks require, was shut down by the 2021 raid. The company later pleaded guilty to drug and money laundering charges. Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Maybe that's why you should have your deposits at a bank.
Yes.
As part of its case against the vault, prosecutors had alleged that some of the vault's customers were storing criminal proceeds in their boxes. Court records show the FBI had developed a plan to permanently confiscate everything inside of the boxes worth at least $5,000 as part of a wholesale forfeiture. based on an assumption that those assets were somehow tied to unknown crimes. However, in their initial warrant request, the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office had not asked to seize the contents of the individual boxes in the vault and left out their plans to do so. Circuit Judge Milan D. Smith Jr. found that the government had gone beyond the scope of its warrant and its own rules for taking inventory of property that is not the subject of a warrant but is nonetheless in its possession by searching the boxes and launching subsequent criminal investigations based on their contents.
Oh my.
Smith also wrote it was particularly troubling that the government could not explain how far it believed it could go with such inventory searches. Without such an explanation, he wrote, it was unclear how those searches differed from the sort of limitless searches that existed in pre-revolutionary America.
Yeah.
And which prompted the Fourth Amendment to be written into the Constitution in the first place.
Yes.
So not only do they not know the law, they don't know their own rules, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Go off, my brother.
Well, yeah, I could go off. In fact, what I will do, since we love to read the Constitution here whenever it does come up, let's take a look at said Fourth Amendment, Steve. It reads thusly, quote, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Quite something. All I keep thinking about is thank you, Founding Fathers, for thinking of this and putting it in as an amendment to the United States Constitution after it was, you know, after it was drafted as part of the Bill of Rights. I can only imagine pre-revolutionary times. Sometimes I'd like to think, I mean, I love that time period. Obviously, it was very...
wouldn't want to live there.
No. It was a simpler time, I guess. But at the same time, it was like, oh, okay, British is now occupying. They can now come in and basically just quarter themselves in my own home. Even though I don't want them there, they could just walk right on in and just... All right. Oh, you have some black powder over there? I'm going to take that. Oh, by the way, I need those musket balls. You know, that kind of a deal. That's one thing after another. And it was kind of like, you know, the Founding Fathers had foresight, knowledge of this. And it was like, yeah, we need to put this in. This is really important. We have to tell the government, no, you cannot do this. For the FBI, and I love the fact too, Steve, with this article in the LA Times, right? The FBI are a bunch of cowards. They had no comment on this.
Yeah.
None. No comment? Are you kidding me? You already know that you're guilty of this. You should be thrown in jail for crying out loud, for being such boobs and idiots and, you know, morons and whatnot, to not even know the Fourth Amendment. You're just walking right on in. Okay, we're just going to take this. Are you out of your damn minds, FBI? Give me a break with all of this. Anyway, ran over.
This over 40 rant brought to you.
I mean, your thoughts. I mean, what?
I mean, certainly. The bad part here to me is I'm stumbling over my words because it's just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like they intentionally hid their intentions in getting this warrant by not. Explaining the full extent of what they were going to do.
Yeah.
You know, you have to get a warrant from a judge in order to do a search or a seizure of property.
Yep.
And it's got, as you read from the Fourth Amendment, it's got to be explicit. You have to have probable cause. So there's got to be reason. You got to prove that to a judge.
Absolutely.
You have to state with specificity what you're going after, why you're going after it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me, it was like they sounds like they conned a judge into getting a warrant, and then they used that warrant to go beyond the scope of what they had told the judge they were going to do.
Totally outrageous.
And then they have the audacity. Yeah. They've seized the stuff. They've inventoried it. oh, well, now we're going to go after you because, you know, we found this in your box that we opened without proper channels.
Yeah.
Like,
it's outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous. And it's like, the thing about that I always worry about with the administrative state is stuff like this. It's like they try and push this particular line to be crossed and thinking that people don't have the ability to read and comprehend the amendments to the Constitution.
Right.
As if they don't know what's it. And I granted that civics lessons in this country is pretty bad. It's not very well done in our public and private, you know, public schools. I don't know about private or things along those lines. But I will say this. For the fact that this, you know, for the people that were filing this lawsuit against the FBI and the fact that Ninth Circuit won, you know, basically.
That's the funniest part about this whole thing. Ninth Circuit's usually
the
like.
Ninth Circuit looney tunes. They were like, no. The government overstepped their bounds. It's like, wait a minute. The Ninth Circuit said this? The Ninth Circuit, the looney tune court. I mean, it was like the Ninth Circus Court is really what it is.
I'm sure I've said on the podcast before, like when we're doing legal research and you find a case and it's like, oh, where'd that come from? Oh, the Ninth Circuit?
Yeah. Let's just say they have their own reputation.
Let's find that somewhere else. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that was a shocker to me. It was like, oh, wow, this decision, which makes total sense, actually came out of the Ninth Circuit. That's impressive.
That's very impressive, We have to give credit where credit is due in that regard.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's the constant pushing, it seems like, from the government is one that I am starting to raise more and more concerns about here. They already pushed a lot of lines when it came to the COVID pandemic. Now it's to something along this line where it is clearly written in the Constitution. For their own administrative state to not know this, or what's worse, they do know it and they're going to test the waters anyway. And are going to push it.
If this is what they were after, why didn't they explain that to the judge in the first place when they got the warrant?
That's a great question. And it beats me, man. I do not know the answer to that question, but it's a great one. It really is. Because, I mean, when it comes right down to it, I am really thankful that the founders put that in there. Otherwise, you have an administrative state with basically free reign. There is no legal justification. You could just go in, search and seize anything from anybody. Even law-abiding citizens can do this. And the fact that they were halted, of all places, by the Ninth Circus Court. I mean, it's great. It's wonderful that there is some people out there that do know their civics. U.S. civics.
Thank God.
It's great. Yeah.
Thank God. But this shouldn't surprise us when you have...
No.
Freaking 81-year-old knucklehead in
the old grandfather,
the highest office in the land, and he's running shit. And the FBI under his watch is doing this kind of nonsense. It's
not good.
Ridiculous. Just to divert quickly back to the Flyer alumni game, it was hilarious to see Scott Hartnell unable to score on 5-10 bell chances.
I blame his haircut.
I do too. And he knew it. He you could tell like the fifth time it happened, he was like, oh my God, I'm never going to score. But we love Hartsy.
Get a haircut, man. I'm telling you. Otherwise those goals go in. I'm serious. Just saying, Scotty, come on.
Yeah, I mean, Scott.
I don't know what you're doing up there.
If I remember correctly, they weren't even like Boston Bruin goaltenders. They were guest goaltenders from like whatever the equivalent of the Flyer Warrior program is.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, it's the hair.
Yeah. I mean, Tim Thomas wasn't available. What's going on over there? I guess he must have been off in a cabin woods somewhere. Who knows?
that dude scared me a little bit.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
All right. Well, to topic two, and this is our what's becoming weekly EV bashing segment brought to you by, I don't know, what do I got laying around? Smart Living.
There you go.
Okay. Smart Living batteries.
There you go.
I don't know. Give us money.
There you go.
EVT. Well, maybe not batteries, because, you know, here's the problem. All right. So Miami Herald article this week chronicled the journey of one Neil Semmel, who purchased an EV and found out something interesting. No, we didn't have a problem. He lives in Florida, so he didn't have a problem of not being able to turn it on in the snow like the people in Chicago that we talked about last week.
No snow to worry about. Yep.
Right. But he had this to say. If somebody looked at me and said, Mr. Semmel, you're going to love this car, but in about 7,000 miles, you will have to pay $1,400 or $1,500 to replace the tires.
Oh, my.
I wouldn't have bought the car.
Yeah.
And Mr. Semmel is not alone in this sentiment. Apparently, EV Garage Miami,
yeah,
a repair shop in Miami.
Yeah.
gentleman there said he frequently changes EV tires at just 8,000 to 10,000 miles.
Oh, my
gosh. A fourth or even a fifth of typical tire wear on a gas-burning car.
Yes, sir.
Tire manufacturer Michelin said conventional tires on electric vehicles consume tires 20% faster than on a gas-powered car, a figure commonly cited by EV makers as well. Goodyear also has said they could wear up to 50% faster.
Oh, wow.
And here's where it gets even worse for the climate folks. To some extent, running through tires quickly may offset the reduction of damaging emissions that EVs offer.
Yeah.
Some studies have shown that tires actually have more particle pollution than exhaust. 2,000 times as much.
Wow.
According to Nick Molden, who conducted one study with emissions analytics, tires are rapidly eclipsing the tailpipe as a major source of emissions from vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
What say you about this latest predicament for EVs?
I mean, what is that, strike two this year?
I think strike this is three. Strike five. Well, oh, this year only?
I don't know.
I don't know. We had at least one last week. So
yeah, for
at least
sure.
Two.
Yeah, at least they're 0-2 in the count. This is not good, at least for this year, Steve. I know that we've talked about this a lot. Just the trials and tribulations of the electric vehicle. And I think the tire itself, I mean, my God, 7,000 miles and you got to change when, you know, the typical ones, what, 60,000 miles.
That's the Michelin advertisement, I guess.
That's a Michelin advertisement or something along those lines.
It's like 5 years or 50,000 miles or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Most warranties are like that. Yeah, depending on the brands or whatnot. But yeah, it's like, it's unbelievable.
And tires ain't cheap.
No, they are not. It is really, it's sad. It's sad to see. You know, it just seems like this is an ongoing project. Talk about electric vehicles now. Just seems like it's an ongoing project. And it's like, well, we're just going to duct tape and fix everything on the fly. We're not going to trial run test this and then come out and roll this out into the American oil place. We have to be able to force this on and we'll make it up and we'll fix it as we, you know, as all of these problems go on, you know, all these problems happen, I should say. Meanwhile, it's like the stress on the roads, thinking about that too. If the tires are being changed every 7,000 miles, that's caused by car weight. And, you know, I've heard, you know, stories in regards to car weights being like, you know, straining the roads. And you hear all about the problems with the roads and the bridges in America. Oh, my God, it's horrible. We got to get more roads and bridges fixed. Well, I mean, if you're going to introduce electric vehicles with all of this, right, and you've got a problem with tires being ditched every 7,000 to 8,000 miles on the conservative side, 1 + 1 = 2 here, and it's not going to be good for our roadways. So it's just, I mean, it is not good. It is not I don't see this as a viable solution anymore, Steve. I don't know about you, but I just don't see the electric vehicle right now being a very viable and alternative solution to getting around from point A to point B when you're talking about an automobile anymore. I'm getting more and more convinced by the day.
It's just one problem after another.
Yes.
The stuff last week You know, it doesn't shock me that they don't start well in cold weather. It's just, you know, regular cars struggle in cold weather sometimes. So you can expect a similar thing from something that runs on a battery. But I'll be honest, the tires didn't even occur to me.
Yeah.
That they would be a problem on an electric vehicle. You know, it's just, I haven't put that type of thought into it. But
sure.
You're right. The more and more that this goes on, it's just they're finding more and more issues with this.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they can keep plugging it.
No pun intended.
and convince us that this is the way to go. Yeah. I mean, I understand the need to reduce, you know, for whatever reason you want to be on, climate control, the dependence on foreign oil.
Sure.
Whatever. We, you know, it's incumbent upon us to absolutely worthy goals, but to do it by just haphazardly throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks.
This tire thing,
even though it didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
This article does go on. I mean, the weight is one issue. It says that the EVs weigh hundreds of pounds more than an equivalent gas vehicle. So you're absolutely putting more strain on tires.
Right. Right.
But there's additional things that factor into this as well. Another thing is that electrical motors produce peak power or torque almost instantly, unlike in a gas car where you have gas flow and burn and everything's got to, you know, you hit the pedal and you're going.
Off you go.
And this one struck me as really funny. EV-specific tires are made differently.
Oh, boy.
To enhance mileage range from battery power and to offset the super quietness.
Oh, I remember reading about that. Yeah. And you what know, did they do after
it's
that?
It's quiet.
Point?
It's quiet.
Yeah.
And so tires will make a noise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
it
without
will.
The cabin noise of the engine and other things running, you're going to hear the tires. So what do? Well, we change the tires so you don't have to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, that means your tire is going to burn down to a nub.
Oh, well, yeah.
7,000 miles.
You're not going to know until it's too late. Exactly.
Right, exactly. And then some electric car experts, you know, also throw blame on the drivers. Well, if you drive like grandma, the type of car shouldn't make a difference. Yeah, who wants to drive like a grandma?
What was it also in the Miami Herald article that they were trying, I think Toyota was trying to put in a vroom vroom sound?
Yes.
Which got me too. It was
so
like,
we're simulating engine noise.
And it's like, because you only hear a when you hear an electric car, and it's the most annoying sound in the history of the world.
Annoying. Yeah.
But it's literally like they have to now pump this in.
Stadium noise.
Stadium noise? What are we doing with this? I'm curious, in
all seriousness, I have heard in the past, not for the in-cabin people, but to prevent pedestrians from getting inadvertently struck by these electric vehicles.
Yes.
They have to put like artificial noise on the vehicle so you can hear it coming.
Yes.
Like,
I'm telling you, Steve, it is a project management gone wrong. Whenever you do something like this, you have to test it out first. Any good project manager will tell you that. You have to make sure that everything is working up and running in order for a project to go on. Now, that's not to say that every project is perfect. Every project will have its changes that need to be done midstream. The fact, though, and this is the big point that I want to make, the fact that these vehicles are being forced into the marketplace is not good. You have to test this out on pavement. I get it. But to put it out there in the marketplace and you have all of these problems and all of these concerns, I even think about, you know, when we did I think it was way back, I forget what the episode is, we'll look it up, but we had that electrical car fire, right? Where the EV caught on fire down there in Tesla, and they could not just use water. It was a chemical fire burn. So it required multiple people coming out there, multiple fire crews with different things. You couldn't just put this out with regular water, and that just seeps right into the asphalt. I mean, it's just a disaster. It really is. Yeah. It's just, you know, take it for what it's worth. We're not convinced here on Two Noobs to buy one. If you want to go out and get one, that's fine. But just...
That's part of the problem. That's the problem here.
Yeah.
In this particular article is, okay, you have some tree hugger who wants to save the environment and wants to buy his EV. Okay, that's fine. How about you tell him up front that his tires are made of Jell-O and are going to go to shit,
yeah,
you know, in 6 months?
Yeah.
Because that's a big expense.
It sure is. Yeah.
I hate when I need, when the shop tells me I need new tires, because I'm like, shit, that the bills is going to get jacked up 2,000%.
Yeah. Exactly. You
know, people deserve to know this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, oh, well, people are going to hear the tires now because there's no engine noise. Let's just make them soft as hell. But don't tell them about
it.
Don't tell them about it. Now, I want to take one last shot here at Mr. Semmel, because he's not going to get off easy.
Let's do it.
It's easy for him to be all about saving the environment and buying an EV, because apparently the model EV we're talking about here is a Mercedes EQS 450 Plus, which boasts a manufactured suggested price of $104,000+.
Oh my. Oh my.
So something tells me Mr. Semmel can afford to be buying tires every 7,000 miles.
$104,000.
Mercedes. EVs aren't cheap regardless, but Mercedes one is going to, you know.
I mean, that's just the height of snootiness at that point. I mean,
absolutely.
Seriously.
Absolutely. So, you know, he can plug it all at once, but, you know, your tires are now fueling the Springfield tire fire, pal.
Oh, they're there with the $7,000 bill. They're there.
Hey, speaking of tires, why don't you roll your ass on over to our website?
Oh, there you go.
TwoNoobsTalking.wordpress.com.
There you go.
You can learn all about us magnificent hosts. You can also access our and watch our old episodes, or get a link to YouTube to watch the old episodes where you can see this fool and John trying their hardest on Zoom.
We created those out of duct tape, let me tell you. That's exactly how we did it. I think Johnny would agree with me on that.
Absolutely. And you can, hey, you can also, if you don't like watching our ugly faces, you can listen to us. And you go to the website, you can find links to various very audio subscription services that'll work. And if you don't like any of those, you can catch our RSS feed, put it in your podcatcher, and listen to whatever stupid one you do in your EV cruising around. Oh, I'm sorry.
Breathe. Calm down. But hey, at the same time, though, leave us a 5-star review out there on iTunes, Spotify, and whatnot. And also,
I'll take three.
Hell yeah, absolutely. And then like, share, and subscribe if you're listening to us on YouTube. We really appreciate all of our listeners. And feel free to make a comment in the comment section down below as well. Go from there. Topic three there,
Steve.
What do you
got? I need to make my nasal passages ready for this one.
This is bad. This is really bad. Because I don't know what's going on in this country. Other than I'm nervous. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, this is a familiar face in the annals of stupidity.
So, oh yeah.
I've been waiting to get to this topic for sure. ABC 27 skin poor news.
Yes.
As we're continuing. We're gonna squeeze the pus out of this article.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Oh my gosh.
PETA, as my father often likes to quote them as, people eating tasty animals.
I was just going to leave, but now you brought me back with that joke. That was great. I love that. Thank you, Mr. Murray, for that.
You
it was awesome.
You can thank my dad for that one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
PETA wants to replace Punxsutawney Phil with, get this, a giant gold coin.
Oh, Lord.
Indiana Jones and the giant gold groundhog coin.
We have done wrong. We confess our sins before you. We humbly ask for your repentance. Oh, my God.
Time to read me my last rites. In a letter to the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club president, Tom Dunkel, PETA, which I can't really say without President Ingrid Newkirk. That's a pretentious sounding name.
Oh, yeah.
Offered to send a giant gold coin to replace Punxsutawney Phil's role on Groundhog Day. Since Punxsutawney Phil's weather predictions are no more reliable than a coin toss, the conditions of the offer, sounds more like a threat,
yes,
state Phil should finally be allowed to live out his days at a reputable sanctuary.
Oh my God.
Groundhogs can't make heads or tails of the weather forecast and shouldn't be jostled around by large members of a different species while I have something stuck up my ass. Oh, sorry. and thrust in front of noisy crowds for a photo op. PETA is urging Punxsutawney Groundhog Club to send Phil to a reputable sanctuary that will give him the care he needs and not treat him as a wildlife prop. As for the name, and this may even be worse than the suggestion for a gold coin.
This is bad. This is
from
really
the,
bad.
From the unimaginable, the unimaginative department.
File. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
File. PETA wants a new name for the holiday, calling it Whether There'll Be More Winter Day. Pistol.
Those crickets you hear out there.
Not buying that.
No words other than PETA's a bunch of lunatics. They've always had been for the longest time. Groundhog Day is a wonderful tradition. Is it ridiculous? Of course it is. That's what makes it a wonderful tradition. That's what makes America America. That's what makes America great.
Of us.
Again. Hey,
whoa.
I mean, the idea of a groundhog, you know, you pull it up out of the ground and, you know, it's like, okay, Punxsutawney Phil, we're going to get 6 more weeks of winter or not. And he looks at his shadow and it's like, we're going to get an early spring if it doesn't see its shadow. Okay, that's great. Meanwhile, next week it snows and it's a blizzard. You know, no one has any idea what's going to happen next week, much less 5 minutes from now. So as you listen to this podcast, now or even in the future or in the past or whatever. But it's insane to give this tradition the boot and to give the Groundhog Club, which I didn't know even existed, Steve, to be perfectly honest. I had no idea there was a
Groundhog. Have you never watched Groundhog Day? I mean, they're featured in there.
Okay.
You know.
Fair enough.
Damn.
But to give it a ground or to give it a giant gold coin as a replacement because you don't know what the weather is going to be like. I'm sorry. I am not like, it's a big event up there. It's huge. It's what makes it great up there because it's like, it's a party atmosphere. It's been tradition for hundreds of years.
You have a friend who wants to go, right?
I have a friend who wants to go and party up there. And I proposed the idea to him and I sent him this exact article. And I said, listen, like, what do you think about all this? He's like, it's still a party regardless. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. But I'm not going up to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania to see some idiot flip a coin and to figure out whether or not weather is going to happen or not, or, you know, winter weather is going to hang around for another 6 weeks.
Yeah, they say giant gold coin. I'm not picturing like a half dollar. I'm thinking like
they're flipping this whole.
They have a crane. makes a big thud as it hits the ground,
killing like people, 5 people.
People biting it on. Yeah, people biting it on the edge to see if it's real gold.
In their top hats and their suits. I mean, what
yeah, right. Have? Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, God. Your thoughts, Steve? I mean,
these people aggravate the hell out of me.
Very much so.
I am totally for treating animals, you know, with respect and...
Who doesn't love a dog, you know, cat?
Care.
Yep. Alligator,
yeah.
Right?
Why not? You know?
Yeah.
But some of the positions they take are just... so ridiculous
and stupid.
Yeah,
stupid.
I matter of fact, I think I was this week. I actually saw a tweet I still call them that because I don't know what you call an X. I saw a tweet from somebody who, I'm pretty sure it was PETA, said something about it's wrong to eat fish. And somebody responded, well, how come fish are allowed to eat other fish, but we're not allowed to eat fish? And PETA blocked them.
I said, you might want to tell a great white shark that, you know,
exactly.
Seriously, I mean, that's, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you when you watch a nature documentary, those lions aren't, you know, munching on kale,
no.
Dude. they're hunting.
It kind of reminds me of that old Futurama episode where, like, this lion was, like, depriving itself of food because it was, like, trying to be, you know, environmentally friendly or something like that. And he coughed. And he's, like, all thin, you know, because he's, like, starving of food. That's what I think PETA's like would want to have happen because it's, oh my gosh.
Their positions are so contradictory like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, can't eat meat, but the carnivores, you know, we have very canine easy. Teeth. We developed canine teeth for a reason.
Oh yeah.
You know, we weren't meant to eat just plants.
Yeah.
You don't get protein from plants.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this just a giant gold coin, like,
my question, well, then I have an additional question. You know, there's I forget the name of the Pennsylvania lottery groundhog. What are we going to do with him?
Oh,
he's
Phil?
The second favorite. Yeah.
That's right.
He's the second most favorite groundhog in all Pennsylvania. What are we going to do with him? Are we going to just toss him away?
Well, he's got to go back in the wild. I don't know how he's going to defend himself, what with his speaking English and all that.
Yeah.
But he's just got to be released to be free.
Yeah.
You know,
to be killed back. By a deer or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, oh, so you set it free, and then it still takes two strides and boom, hit. But I want to come back to the name thing.
Yeah.
Because, like,
yeah.
All right. So you don't want the groundhog there anymore, right?
Nope.
Okay, fine. Even if we were to take that silly suggestion, we're going to bring out a toy groundhog. We're going to do something silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do we have to change the name?
Yeah.
And why do you not have anyone who can rub two brain cells together and come up with a better suggestion than whether there'll be more winter day?
Yeah. Holidays should only be one word, maybe two words long.
Right.
Maximum.
Agreed.
The fact that it's I almost lost my mind there. The fact that it's a freaking sentence is ridiculous. It just proves the point that PETA they do not care about what they are ultimately for, I guess. They're just there to gaslight people. Are they gaslighting us? Hell no, because we love making fun of them. That's the
Absolutely.
Whole point with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, for them to come up with, oh, I have an idea. Let's break this really ridiculous sentence out. And then, and only then, we'll be able to just delete it from all of history. Are you kidding me?
It's stuff like this that I think hurts their actual cause.
Yes.
Because 100%. You can't take them seriously when they come up with stupid shit like this.
You cannot. I totally agree. Yes.
It's like if they gave you an alternative that actually sounded cool or neat, like, oh, wow, that's not a half bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe we should consider switching.
Yeah.
Because, it's Ferrari day. Oh, well, we get to drive around in Ferraris. Why not? Yeah, that's cool. I'll ditch the Groundhog Day. I don't really do anything for that. Cool. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah,
but no, they come up with stupid ass puns. Whether there'll be more winter day. And by the way, you people who are listening and viewing, you can't see this because you don't have the article in front of you. Weather is not spelled W-H-E-T-H-E-R.
Yeah. It's weather.
It's spelled weather as in, like, rain, sun, weather.
Yeah.
So it's punny. This does not make me take you... I don't take them seriously anyway because, as a group, it's one of those reactionary things where they see something and immediately reaction, knee-jerk, and they don't think through what they're saying.
Right. Right.
And so I don't take them serious to begin with, but it's this stuff that makes them just off the wall goofy.
Doesn't make any sense.
I
yeah.
Yeah, if they want people to be on their side, they need to come up with better ideas, because this just ain't working. And now as we move on to topic four, I take this pen and I stick it in your eye, because that's what this crap all feels like. It's people poking me in the eye with pens. What does this world come to?
Luckily, I have glasses that protect me from that.
Fair point.
Somewhat. Although I have to, you know, dodge it still out of the way, because it's coming right
at me. If you throw the pen hard enough, maybe it'll crack the glass. I don't know.
Break the glass. Yeah, right. Shatter into 1,000 pieces. Ugh.
My son.
Yes.
He has contacts, but he's too lazy to learn how to put them in.
Well, I mean, they are a pain in the butt. I mean, admittedly,
if the choice came down to it that I needed prescription eyewear,
yep,
I would absolutely choose glasses, because I don't even like the idea of touching my own eyeball.
Yeah.
But he has them and he could do it. He's worn them before, but he won't. And he admitted as much, that he's just lazy.
That's great. That's great and all.
But I guess your point is well taken. The glasses protect you from the flying daggers of pens.
Somewhat, yeah.
Well, all right. Speaking of flying daggers of pens, flying and idiots and all that. We like to call out bullshit here on Two Noobs.
Always.
We have two different instances recently on planes of people being harassed for their seat by entitled jerks. And we're here to say, cut it out.
Please.
Stop it.
It's already, like, the worst... Only the worst thing to do...
Flying?
...is to scold people on Flying is definitely up there. Yeah, that's true. That's number one. But scolding people on an airplane, that ranks right up there, too.
Yeah.
Maybe top five. But I mean, it's like, to be able to do that, to have the balls, I guess, to say, to try and scold somebody. Oh, you're not in my seat. Oh, you should move because you're too fat. Oh, you got a mountain condition. No, the hell with you. Get out. I'm pregnant. I'm not pregnant.
All right. Well, you foreshadowed it. So let's get into it here. First instance, we have a woman who, purchased two seats on a domestic flight. 34-year-old passenger. She admits she is obese. So she bought, this is her words, because I'm fat, I booked an extra seat so everyone could be more comfortable. I know it sucks having to pay for an extra seat, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's good. If you know you're going to have a problem with one seat, make yourself comfortable, make people around you comfortable, perfectly fine. You need two seats? Great. Yeah. That's,
absolutely.
As long as you pay for two seats, go for it. Anything to make a flight easier. You know what I mean? Like,
please. Just, yes.
You got 100 people crammed into a sardine can. Let's be civil and do things nicely. So this woman, everything goes smoothly from checking in to security and boarding, at least at first. This woman comes to my row with a boy who appeared to be about a year old. She told me to squeeze into one seat so her son could sit in the other. She told me, not asked. I told her no, and then I paid for this seat for the extra space. Apparently, the flight attendant gets involved, asks her to try to squeeze into the seat as well. She just said, I said no, and then I wanted the seats that I paid for. The boy, who the mom said is 18 months old, was supposed to sit in her lap so he could do just that. So the flight attendant eventually told the mom to put her son in her lap. I got dirty looks and passive-aggressive remarks from her for the rest of the entire flight.
Can you even imagine
that? I can't. So you bought one seat on the plane, flying with a second person, admittedly an 18-month-old, and now you just want to take over somebody else's seat because, well, you fit. That I didn't pay for.
Yeah.
So now you want two seats for the price of one when this person actually shelled out money for two seats.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't get that.
All right. So before we start breaking this down in detail, there's the other incident. A person by the name of Michael Donnelly says on a long flight over 5 hours, specifically paid for an aisle seat in the second to last row because of a medical condition that sometimes requires quick and easy access to a bathroom. He says in his Reddit story, right before boarding, a woman asked me to give up my seat so she could sit closer to the bathroom. She was pregnant, but did not seem distressed. While I felt for her situation as someone with a medical condition, I did not feel it was fair to demand I move from the seat I planned for and paid for, especially since she apparently had not booked an aisle seat for herself in advance. The flight attendants...
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. The flight attendants refused to help mediate when she insisted I should have to move. There were also no other aisle or close seats available on the full flight that I or flight crew could facilitate swapping. I tried to recommend she speak to her doctor about needing accommodation if sitting far from the bathroom is not medically advisable for her situation during future flights. Still, my family says I should have inconvenienced myself and given up my seat. I disagreed, though. I think she and the flight crew were unfairly targeting me instead of handling it through proper channels.
Wow.
So I don't know if you want to.
What is happening?
I don't know. Well, I mean, which one of these ridiculous stories you wanted to go for first here?
Well, let's tackle the obese woman and the son and the woman. First of all, passive aggressive looks. Grow up.
Seriously,
that's the one thing I would say.
Yeah,
just grow up. Okay, I'm sorry you were inconvenienced, but that does not give like. Yeah, you're annoyed. I understand that, but it's a. I don't know how long that flight was.
Was that the 5 hour one?
No,
it was the second one. It was a domestic flight, it's not going to be longer than 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, literally an hour and a half.
Well, no, you could fly across the country. It could be 5 or 6 hours.
That's true. Yeah. So,
but you're not talking 14 hours to Japan.
No. The passive aggressiveness is just from a societal standpoint, it's just got to be knocked off. I'm serious. It's like, it is so childish. Just, you know, like to me, I understand the frustration, but you should let that go away and not fester in your heart. And I'm being deadly serious about that too. It's like, you can't allow that to just fester. And, oh, you're giving somebody dirty looks because they're, you know, they're not moving or whatever the case may be. Yeah. You're going the stink eye or the evil eye or whatever the case.
How dare you use something you paid for?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think where the obese person probably was wrong in saying like, no, I correct me if I'm wrong. Does it say in the article that the obese woman did mention to both the woman and the flight attendant that she paid for those two
I thought
seats.
She did say she told them paid for it.
If that's the case closed. Then it's like the flight attendant takes that information and says, okay, well, here's what we're going to have to do. You're going to have to sit here. Unfortunately, we're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to, and that's exactly what happened. You know, you have to have your son on your lap, unfortunately, for the entire length of the flight. She paid for these two seats. She has to feel comfortable going the same distance as you are. You know, it sucks. We'll do whatever we can to try and make you comfortable as well. You know, and whether or not that was offered, it sounds like it was, then the passive aggressiveness really should just be like, you got to let that go. You just, okay, fine. I get it. Kid's a little unruly. That's discipline. You're home.
Yeah, that's your problem. Discipline
your kid. When you get home, the kid doesn't have say over you. You have say over your own kid. That's just the bottom line, period. But yeah, the whole passive aggressiveness, get rid of it, period. But for the obese woman, I don't blame her at all. I don't blame her one bit. You know, those seats in an airline aren't exactly the most comfortable. I have ridden, of course, on air flights that have gone overseas and have been stuck in between. One guy who had his elbow right in my ribs and a breastfeeding woman to my immediate right. In which case I wanted to cry and go home. It sucked, but there was nothing I could do. It's just all I had to do was just grin and bear, just look at the iPad, watch all kinds of movies and Mythbusters and whatnot and just block it out.
I'm not obese, and I have a hard time with those seats.
Absolutely.
They're tight enough as it is. I do not blame this woman one bit for trying to make herself and others comfortable by taking two seats.
Totally agree.
If this woman, I mean, obviously she planned to have the kid fly in her lap because she only bought one seat to begin with. If you planned properly, you would have bought two seats if you wanted the kid to sit. Okay. When I flew back, this was 2012. Okay. So my son was three. My daughter was a little over one. I bought three seats consecutively so we could all sit together. My daughter was small enough she could fit on somebody's lap or fit in between on the seats. You know, I didn't buy one seat and then expect somebody to move so that she could have a seat to herself.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
This mom just clearly did not plan properly.
No.
And I think that's all on her. And if her kid's acting up, that's on her for not keeping him under control, which is a problem with a lot of parents, unfortunately, not keeping control of their children.
You're seeing that happen in youth hockey now.
It all comes full circle, dude. It all comes full circle.
Exactly. That's right. Speaking of passive aggressive looks.
Yeah, right. This is ridiculous. If you know your kid's a problem and he's not going to be able to sit on your lap for however long the flight is, then buy a second seat. Don't ask somebody who's paid for a seat to give it up because you didn't plan properly.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Stone Cold said so.
That's right. Stone Cold Steve Murray said
so. Right. Yeah, that's right. All right. So let's move on.
All right. So the second one.
Let's move on to the second one. Your thoughts on that one?
So, okay. You got a medical condition, has to be near the bathroom for whatever the medical condition was. He needed quick access. And then you have a pregnant woman also needing access, but did not buy an aisle seat. It sounds to me like this pregnant woman just picked him out of random because there are multiple different
aisle seats. Right.
For one thing. Granted, if you're in row, let's just say 17, you're not exactly close to the bathroom.
Depends on the flight.
No question about it. Depends on the flight, of course. Yeah. But I mean, but if I'm just saying like on a typical 36 row, they have a targeted, probably you have one in row 10 or 12, 10, 11 or 12. And then the further back, it's probably like maybe in the 20s. And then I think they have one even way farther back in the big, the top, I think. But
that's a big plane you're flying on because I usually the smaller planes, you got a bathroom in first class and a bathroom at all the way at the back, and that's it.
Yeah, that's what if you're flying a sardine can,
right?
That's pretty much what most airlines are
exactly. I'll throw this jab in there while your Boeings are holding together. Good job, idiots.
Yeah, there you go. Seemingly out of random there. He's not in the wrong. If he needs the seat
that he paid extra for,
he sees the map. He sees the map, clearly the seating map, right? He looks at it. He's like, oh, okay. I need this act. If I'm in order to get to the bathroom quickly, I need this seat or 80 seats around there in the aisle.
That'll be $20,
only.
Sir.
So, okay. I'm going to buy this. This is my seat. I ain't moving. Perfectly fine with that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this woman, again, plan ahead.
Poor planning.
I get it if you're running late. Totally get that. But again, the audacity of it all, Steve, right? Yeah. To just say, get out. I need this seat because I'm pregnant. I need, and he's like, no. Where I think he might have been in the wrong was trying to lecture her, and which is like, oh,
well, yeah, business about you should consult your doctor. That was a little weird.
Yeah, that's a little like, yeah, that's like you don't say the quiet parts out loud, right? I mean, you just kind of just keep that to yourself. Right. You already, exactly. You don't need to
You're
say
in the
that.
Right, dude. Just you know,
you're in the right.
Absolutely.
You paid for the seat. I totally understand where she's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, I'm afraid I can't help you. I have this medical condition. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go all the way up here? There, everybody's, all the other aisle seats are taken.
I mean, medical condition aside, you paid, because I've booked flights. I know there's, yep. You know, it, not every seat is paid equally. Certain seats, exactly. You're going to get charged $20 extra, $40 extra.
Yeah.
He picked the seat, paid the extra money for it. He even said in here, I think he said he paid extra money. He paid extra money for, yep, the seat. And this woman, who apparently didn't plan properly, is she going to give him that extra money to move? You know, putting the medical condition aside.
Yeah.
I still think it's wrong to tell somebody who's paid $40 more for a seat to for a particular seat that they were interested in, regardless of why they did it. And you have the audacity just to go up and say, I didn't make plans ahead. I, you know, didn't pay the extra money for the seat, but you should give it to me anyway, because I'm pregnant.
I don't know if you're in that situation. Now, granted, okay, we're blessed to be physically fit, both of us. But if we had a medical condition and someone came up to us in an airline and said, I need you to move because I'm pregnant, whatever. Would you, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you come up with the idea, okay, yeah, I'll give you my seat, but I need you to pay me $40 because I paid for this seat for $40.
Absolutely.
It's the only way you can have it.
Absolutely.
You'd say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why should I now have to move to a seat I didn't want and be out the $40 because of your dumbass planning? You couldn't plan ahead.
Yeah.
That's your fault.
Yeah. That's your fault.
And let's get this taken care of. Pregnant woman, right?
Yeah.
This is not a situation like on a train or on a bus where everybody pays the same fare and there's the possibility of standing room only, and a pregnant woman gets on and is standing and somebody gives up the seat.
Yes.
Absolutely what you should do. There is no standing on a plane. This woman had a seat. She had somewhere to sit down.
Yep.
Okay.
Now.
This is not that situation. She could get off her feet and be seated on that airplane.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But she didn't pay to be where he is.
No.
Either because she's too cheap or she doesn't think it through.
Yeah. Even if it's something where if you're able to plan ahead and you don't get the exact seat that you want, but you're in the aisle, take the aisle seat.
Right.
Take it. Even if you have to go five rows down, in case there's an emergency, you still have that option.
Aisle or not.
To get out of your seat and go.
Aisle or not. Who was going to get mad because a pregnant lady has to get up to go to the bathroom? It's like, okay, please go ahead.
Heck, I would even say this. Even if I had the aisle seat, I saw that happen, I would be like, you know what? If you want my aisle seat, take it. I don't care. That's the kind of thing that we need to think about more often. I think if it's assigned seating, I get it. But you would need to consult that with the flight attendants. I totally get that too. But if it's something where it's like an escalation and she's in need of that aisle seat, right? And then she had to pick the middle and she's desperate and she needs it or something like that. Granted, it's a whole hypothetical, what I'm saying.
That's hypothetical because that didn't appear in this story for sure.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, if that were to happen, that's something where if you're a guy, you're kind of like, okay, you see this happen. You don't want this to be escalated. Hey, you want my aisle seat? You can have it. I don't care.
The other thing. Like you pointed out, his seat wasn't the only aisle seat.
Yes. Like,
why didn't she ask somebody else to move?
What's
going on here?
Don't get it. Don't get it. Unless around that section, you know, maybe there was a set, you know, policy of the airline to say, okay, if you want an aisle seat assigned to you, you need to pay an extra $40, which is ridiculous to begin with.
Well, it is. And it sounds like he had to pay extra money for this aisle seat.
Yeah, I don't know why that's the case. That's a whole other discussion.
This guy's got a medical condition.
Yeah.
And he thought through, you know what? I might need to have to go to the bathroom during a five-hour flight, so I'm going to pick a seat that's going to make that convenient for me. There's one right there. I'm going to pick it. This woman apparently didn't think that through. and just thought she could bully her way on because she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. This is not a situation where we're all equal pay and there's a lack of seats. She had a seat.
Yeah. And that's the key point. That is a key point in that whole discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The airplane etiquette is really, and you see not only just these two stories, but other stories where it's like you hear about like someone being unruly. One of my favorites was the one where they had a guy that had a bowel movement that just could not be contained. And that's a nightmare, you know, in that regard. And it's like, that's an exception to the rule, but it just seems, big time exception to rule. But it seems to be like, in order to just, I think the bigger, broader point is we need to just understand, you know, not everything goes your way all the time. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to have to deal with inconveniences. And I'm sorry that it's a first world problem, right? At the end of the day, you just need to just deal with it and understand it. And it's like, okay, I get it. It's inconveniencing me, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day. It does not matter at the end of the day.
The problem with these two particular stories is these inconveniences were of their own doing.
Doing, exactly.
This wasn't something that was thrust upon them. They had the option to plan properly, get the number of seats they needed and or the location of the seat they needed, and they didn't do it. And they just felt the need to try to kick somebody else who was followed the rules and procedures and thought things through. I mean, both of these people, they did it the right way. They knew the issues.
Totally agree.
They knew what they had to do. They went ahead and did it and made sure it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feel sorry for people who don't think things through like that and just think that they can bully other people because I got an unruly baby. Well, maybe you should have purchased a second seat for your unruly baby if it was going to be that big of a problem for you.
Yeah.
Sorry you're going to get kicked in the crotch.
Discipline your kid.
Yeah, right?
You discipline your
kid. Sorry the kid's going to kick you in the crotch 5,000 times before you land, but that's just what, you know, maybe you should have coughed up the extra $100 or $200, whatever it was for the additional seat.
Speaking about being swole, I mean, my God.
Swole.
So we hope that helps.
How do you think get
more than anything else?
Yeah, look.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, the bottom line is the airplane experience is miserable for everybody.
Yeah.
Please, doesn't
need to be worse.
It doesn't need to be worse. Don't make it worse for the people around you. Just suck it up and deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to people. Find out what they're doing. Don't just say, hey, it's all about me. If it's all about you, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a big problem if it's all about you. Even though you may think you're in the right when you're not.
We used to do this. The world revolves around you.
Ooh, look at that.
Look at that.
Ooh, look at that.
And then Jupiter slams you right in the face. Or at least I wish it would for some of these people.
Well, at least it would kind of just pull you into the gravity, right? I think it's like a just suction.
You'd be spaghettified pretty quickly on Jupiter.
Yeah, pretty quickly. Yeah. Oh.
Well, speaking of spaghetti, I'm getting hungry, but not really. I actually want to go to bed.
There you go.
So that wraps up episode 174. I tried to transition. It just wasn't working out.
I know, that's okay.
We hope John will be back next week. Fingers crossed that the work gets done and he can hang out with us and talk about stupid people and stupid things.
Yeah. We hope we did well, Johnny, for you. I'll get it out eventually.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm going to go home.
Don't forget, the truth will set you free.
That's right.
Had to get that one back in there. Until next week, we shall see you later for episode 175 of Two Noobs Talking. Have a pleasant week, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us here at Two Noobs Talking. If you want more information on what Two Noobs Talking is exactly, the good news is we have a website address. It's located at twonoobstalking.wordpress.com. Links to all of our previous episodes are there, along with some interesting information about the terrific trio of hosts. Please feel free to make a comment about this week's episode, too. We would love to hear what you have to say. Have a great week, and we hope to have you back next week for another great episode of Two Noobs Talkin'. Take care.